It's time for food. That's right. It's time to talk once again with Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur, of course, joins us on a Monday morning. And we also rebroadcast him during the weekend on the weekends. And this week, you'll get to hear him actually on Tuesday, as a matter of fact, in the 12 noon hour on Leonard Lopate at Large. But ladies and gentlemen, he's at Large right now on the Breakfast Club.
I'm large.
Well, that makes two larges and one small.
I'm quite large. Actually, it's amazing how when the weather becomes more civilized, I can eat again.
That's right.
I do think I lost weight over the last couple of weeks. One thing is I've really, yogurt has become my best friend. I'm favoring, I'm going to give a brand name, Chobani whole milk yogurt, which I believe is 4%-ish fat. There actually is a 5% whole milk yogurt. Oh, we're talking Greek yogurt, by the way. What's the difference? The normal, everyday, as we knew it from Dannon years ago, yogurt is yogurt. But Greek yogurt is strained yogurt. And you can make your own Greek yogurt if you want. You could just take, I used to use coffee filters. A cheesecloth is better. A couple of folds of cheesecloth in a strainer, and you pour in your yogurt, your normal yogurt, and within hours you have strained yogurt. You'll see all the whey that comes off. So, it's so hot I haven't been able to cook. But yesterday I checked out a new Turkish restaurant in my neighborhood in Park Slope, and it's open 2 weeks. It's on the next block from the farmers market that I like to go to on Sunday, which is not part of the city green markets, I have to add. And it's called Tava, this new Greek restaurant, T-A-V-A, which means it's a tava is a pan, it's a skillet. We would say skillet. I think the logo of the restaurant is a pan too. Anyway, I was talking to these. By the way, the Turkish restaurants here in Brooklyn all have Turkish wait staffs, boys and girls who are mainly here for education, but need to earn a few bucks while they're going to school. Our waitress is studying special education. And she's on her way to a master's degree in special education. Meantime, she's a waitress at Tava. So we were talking to her because we like Turkish people, and we're scared of Turkey now. And Bob and I had just been saying yesterday morning how sad it was that we don't think we can go back to Turkey for a while. Who knows if ever. I just don't feel like there's going to be good feelings about Americans after I don't want to go into politics. But it's not a good place to visit at the moment. Although our waitress said, oh, no problem for tourists. In any case, and also, she said, in a big bargain, of course, if you've never been to Turkey and you want to go and spend very little money, the Turkish lira has sunk and the dollar is strong, and so you could get like the meal we had yesterday, which cost in the end with a tip $60 for the two people. She said, "Oh, you can get that for less than $10."
Oh, that's you know, and people really, you know, even $60. $60 for two people is not bad.
No.
Here.
Actually, while we were there, and we ordered, I can tell you what we ordered for $60. We ordered, let me just finish where I was going, which is that we were talking to the waitress. And told her that we'd been to Turkey many times. And I said, oh, well, the only place I haven't been that I really want to go is Gaziantep. Gaziantep is famous for a few culinary things, including a street that's still there, she says, as far as she knows, a street where they're all kebab vendors, everybody making their own different kebabs. Anyway, so she said, oh, well, our chef is from Gaziantep. I said, oh, is there anything on the menu that is particularly, I don't know how you say, I guess, Gaziantep-y? And she said, well, yes, there is. Esme. So Esme, to me, in my past experience with Turkish food, is basically a spicy eggplant dish served at room temperature as an appetizer, meze, or salad, you could say. However, here, reading it off, I didn't order it, by the way, but reading it off the menu here, it's many more vegetables than eggplant, and it's seasoned differently, including with pomegranate molasses, which I know is a special thing of Gaziantep. I mean, they use pomegranate molasses all over the Middle East and in Turkey, but in Gaziantep, which is, by the way, eastern Turkey. It's far eastern Turkey. I know they use it a lot in their cooking. And in fact, we did order what they call spinach tarator. So I make tarator, and I'm going to tell you how I make it in a minute, but I make it, also I learned it from a Turkish person, a Turkish cook, how to make this tarator I make. But this one was very different. And what makes tarator? Tarator is a word used to describe many different things, but they always include yogurt or something creamy, and it could be sour milk, and nuts. So this tarator was made with cooked spinach, yogurt, garlic, and chopped walnuts. And it was garnished with a drizzle of pomegranate molasses. So that was all new to me, and I can't wait to try making it myself. So it's nice in the restaurant, you know, but I like to know how to do these things too, especially when those are ingredients that I have in the house all the time. So one day when I don't know what to cook, I can make spinach with a box of frozen spinach. I could make a spinach tarator. It was really, really good. It helped that they baked their own bread at Tava. And they had really good and authentic tasting pide, which is the basic bread of Turkey. It's a flat bread, but it's a puffy, soft flat bread. Very good for the various vegetable appetizers they have in Turkey. And we also had, just to say, fried calamari, because I don't know what they do. I do know what they do. Turks make particularly good fried calamari, and my favorite is from my favorite Turkish place on Coney Island Avenue and Avenue P over in Midwood called Taji's Beyti. That means Taji's place. But I had to order it here in my own neighborhood that I could maybe get good Turkish calamari. They were very well cooked. I didn't like the quality of the actual calamari so much, but they were very, very well fried. And what the trick is, by the way, is, at least the way I learned it, is you keep the calamari on ice, literally, on, you know, a tray full of ice cubes, and until the moment that you're putting it in the flour, seasoned flour, and frying it. I mean, really has to be icy cold. I think it's something with, you know, the nearly frozen water inside the calamari, perhaps... in its sudden burst of steam, when you put it in the hot oil, makes the calamari tender. In any case, and the breading very, very crisp. So we had that, and you in a Turkish restaurant, you have to order shepherd's salad. They don't even bother to translate that into Turkish, but it's called çoban salatası if you ever see it on the menu. And this small Turkish salad was rather big. I mean, Bob and I eat a lot of salad, and we couldn't finish this. What chopped Turkish salad is tomato, cucumber, red onion, and depends on where, an herb. In this case, it was just parsley, but that was fine with me. And then we had one order to split between the two of us of Adana kebab. Adana is the, I think, still third largest city in Turkey, an agricultural town, sort of crazy place. There was no. I've been there and spent a lot of time actually there, and it's a developed, underdeveloped city. I don't know how to say that, but it's not what we're, there's no city planning in Adana.
We have an
Air Force base in Adana. We meaning U.S./NATO, and it's Incirlik Air Force Base, which is very, very strategically important to us in the Middle East.
Does that so alter the food
Adana
there?
Adana is more receptive to Americans than Istanbul is at the moment.
But for example, I'm just wondering about the food culture.
In Adana?
Well, no, but when you have a base, do you also have to make concessions? Do you have Applebee's there for?
I don't, you know, I was only curious. The longest time I've spent in Adana is 5 days.
Okay.
And I didn't notice any
no.
concessions.
On something like that.
The Incirlik. No. I mean, there are plenty of non-Turkish soldiers around associated with Incirlik. As I said, I think it's NATO, so it's more than just American.
Right.
But
on the American base, they would have stuff like that.
Not outside.
Right.
No, I think if you go outside the base, you want to experience the local culture.
Ideally.
And Adana is a very, you know, a very hospitable place. I really have never felt unwanted in Adana. But, of course, they don't see many. The only Americans they really see are military. So no tourists go to Adana. And, in fact, I have a nice collection of Turkish copper cooking pieces. And I mentioned this to the waitress to show her my genuine fondness for Turkey and Turkish food. And she said, oh, where did you buy them? In some, you know, country market? I said, actually, a lot of them I bought in a store in Ankara. And that's the capital, and it's a modern city. And she said, in Ankara? She's sort of disbelieving. Got to say, she was an Istanbul girl, and I don't think she ever left. I mean, when we mentioned places we've been to in Turkey, she said, well, I've never been there. So I think she's actually not traveled much in her own country. Of course, she's a kid. I mean, she's like 21. 22. So back to yogurt. I am definitely making the Tava restaurant Gaziantep style spinach tarator, but here's the one that I've been making for a number of years now, and it's an imitation of the one they serve at Taji's Beyti, and it's two-thirds, you know, I can't give you actual measurements. It's two-thirds yogurt and one-third sour cream. And so let's say two-thirds of a cup of yogurt and one-third of a cup of sour cream. And for one cup of this mixture, I would add one generous tablespoon of tahini. That's my nut content. Sesame seeds counts as nuts. So a tablespoon of tahini. One large clove, or maybe fajil, not so large clove of garlic, which in this case I would chop very, very finely and then sort of mash with the side of my knife with a tiny pinch of salt to make it more like a paste so that it blends well in. But if you're too lazy to do that, you can just chop it very finely and put that in. And then you do need at least a big pinch of salt. And you don't need pepper. That's pretty much it. Tahini, sour cream, yogurt, full-fat Greek strained yogurt. By the way, we say Greek yogurt, but there are other products that are not called yogurt, that are yogurt. Labne, namely. Labne is a Arab word for strained yogurt. I forget how you say strained yogurt in Greek. There's a whole, by the way, if you look up Greek yogurt, I'm sure you'll find maybe you won't, but I think it was on Facebook. It was just some of my friends, my food friends, had a long talk about yogurt, Greek yogurt, and including Aglaia Kremezi, who is, in fact, Greek, and Nancy Harmon Jenkins, if you're a friend of hers on Facebook, she had 2 cents to say about Greek yogurt also. I don't like it that a lot of Americans are disdainful of American products. You know, it's not going to taste exactly like yogurt you eat in Greece, but I think we do a pretty good job. And, you know, every yogurt company is a little different. So I'm favoring Chobani lately. There's this Faye, which people love, I guess, because it's everywhere. I don't like their zero-fat
yogurt.
It tastes starchy to me.
How about, have you had zero-fat?
I used to settle on the 2%, right. But I have no problem with 4%. I mean, you realize that even full-fat yogurt, it has very few calories, a lot of protein, no carbs to speak of. It's a really great food. You just have to find one that you like the flavor of. And instead of buying flavored yogurt, like, you know, with fruit and sugar, you know, do it yourself. It's not a big deal to take a spoonful of jam, which is definitely going to be better quality than anything they put in commercially. Well, I wouldn't say anything. There are some, you know, high-end yogurts. I guess they use high-end fruits and stuff. But, you know, if you take a spoonful of good quality preserves or jam or even jelly, whatever, and stir it into your yogurt, it's better for you, sure.
And what's really
during these hot days, I was living on yogurt with a sliced banana, yogurt with blueberries. I would crush some breakfast cereal over the top to give it crunch. I really had such little appetite that was about all I could do.
But
I enjoyed it.
When you it's funny because one of the ways they started marketing yogurt to get ahead of what you're talking about is now if you flip the it's so convenient if you flip the
I've seen that
right
on commercials.
but the point is really and truly pay attention. All you need is the yogurt that you like and whatever it is. I think yes, I know what it was on Friday. I was in the market and I notice that they make couscous with rosemary and olive oil flavor.
What?
Yeah, and I thought, well, why can't...
Couscous, let me hear that again. Couscous? You mean this is a packaged product?
Yes.
You add boiling water, it's like instant couscous, but
yes.
It's flavored?
Yes.
But I know, what can I say? You know, if you look at the... Look, here's my take. If I can eat better with 5 minutes of effort... I'm going to do it. If 5 minutes of effort is too much for you, then you get what you want, you know, you convenience. So,
right. And
I always have dried rosemary in the house because I buy a bunch of fresh rosemary. I use it fresh, and then what do you do with the rest?
You
dry
it.
You dry it. And so if I wanted to, actually, you just made me remember that I have some kind of instant type couscous that I actually liked and that I should use up already. And what would I do? I would boil this product that I have, which is not the fine kind, but it's a little pearl kind. You boil the water and then you add the couscous and you cover it and let it sit for 10 minutes.
Right. And then
you boil the water with a couple of needles of rosemary squished together. What other flavoring was in there?
Olive oil?
Well, so a glug of olive oil
and you're
in
done.
The water and a little salt and pepper probably and as my grandmother would say in Yiddish, fachtig. It's enough.
Exactly.
It's enough. Basta.
But that was the point. Enough. You know, I'm not talking about I'm making this up, you know, with salmon roe pulled from the, you know, handcrafted from the finest babies, whatever. I'm just talking about something that should be, if you have not even a kitchen, but if you have a hot plate, you should have a little salt, little pepper, a little olive oil, and some herbs.
Yeah.
You can do this.
Yeah, you can do this.
Anyhow,
you can do this. Anyway, the other I have perfected tzatziki. I'm very proud to say this summer, making it so often, and that's the Greek yogurt and cucumber mix. I don't know. You can eat it as a soup if it's thin, and you eat it as a dip if it's not. And when I say perfected, I always have a little trouble with the cucumber because many cooks will tell you you've got to salt and drain the cucumber. I don't really like doing that. But I do need you do need to seed the cucumber. So I cut it in half after peeling it, I cut it in half the long way and take the tip of a teaspoon and scrape out the seeds, discard them, unless you want to put them in your garden. I guess they'll grow. Excuse me. And then I grate the cucumber on the coarsest side of my box grater. You can do it in a food processor with the grating blade if you like. Works fine. And then I just squeeze out the water. I don't salt it. So you just take it in fistfuls and squeeze out excess liquid, put it in a bowl, and stir in your yogurt. For one largish cucumber, normal kind of cucumber, not special kind of cucumber, from one large-ish garden cucumber, I would use a generous half cup of yogurt. Not a lot of garlic. A small clove of garlic will do here. Also, very finely chopped or crushed. Salt. And then an herb. I must say, I really love dill in this. The problem with dill is, what do you do with the rest of the dill if you're not really cooking? I mean, how many salads can I have with dill? By the way, I could make a chopped Turkish salad, Choban Salata, so with dill is wonderful.
Do you ever dry the
dill? So if I do buy the dill, I'm eating dill for a few days because it does not keep.
Do you dry it?
No, it doesn't dry. Many, many years ago, a listener told me I should put it unwashed
in a glass
jar in the freezer. And that's fine if you're making soup and you want it in the soup, but not for a salad. So, no, you have to use the dill within 2-3 days. That means you're eating dill things for 2-3 days.
Pickles.
Well, yeah, a lot of things you can do. One of the things I did over the weekend was I made pickled beets.
Okay.
And that's very good with dill, but mainly it's onion. Pickled beets, you know, I've been buying these. In fact, I'm going to buy some more today. I've been enjoying them so much. These already cooked and peeled beets, they come vacuum packaged, 4 to a package. In that hot weather, I wasn't going to keep either the stove or the top of the stove on for an hour, which is what you need for beets. And so I was thrilled to have these pre-cooked beets. So but my beet salad, I just slice up the beets, I put them in a bowl with a mixture of half vinegar, half water. The vinegar, I use plain old white distilled vinegar, but if you must, use apple cider vinegar. Don't use wine vinegar. For one thing, it's too expensive for this. So, but apple cider vinegar is just fine. Half and half, enough to cover however many beets you put in the bowl. I did a whole package, 4 beets, and in that I used one large-ish, again, onion, sliced into rings, and I put it in the bowl. And it only sat in the refrigerator for a couple of hours when we ate it. Oh, I'm sorry. I also added a pinch of salt and a little bit of sugar. Interesting, when my grandmother made this, she would add quite a bit of sugar. I don't think it's necessary, and the beets are usually sweet enough without adding too much sugar. But I would say for 1 cup of liquid, 1 teaspoon of sugar. If you want more, you can always stir in more. It dissolves rather easily. But it's something you add at the beginning, not at the end, because it's for marinating the beets. So you want the beets. And the onions, even if you don't eat raw onion, the onion does give the beets flavor, and I would recommend that you don't leave out the onion. Keep the onion in, and just don't eat it at the end. And my beet salad's in there now for 2 days, and it's really, really good. What else can I say?
Yum. Going back to, have you
By
tried...
the way, the beet juice, if I decide not to waste that pickled beet juice, I could stir sour cream into it and drink it.
Oh, man. That almost sounds as bad as the people that I used to go to clam bakes would take all the clam bake water and the butter and drink it. Oh, and drink it.
Oh, that sounds so good.
I know, but
it nauseated you.
I did it once. Yeah, I did it once, and all I could think of that night was all the little clams sitting in my stomach, topped by that juice.
By the juice. Well, they probably like being digested in their own juice. Boy, you made me want to. You know what that reminds me? I need to eat spaghetti with clam sauce. No,
okay.
I had the best spaghetti with clam sauce of my life. I never say these things, but I'm going to say it now, at the home of a listener's aunt. Don't ask how I got to her house, but it was unbelievable. So I keep meaning to call and say, Janet, I need to come over and learn how to make it from your aunt, and then I'll take you out to dinner. Or something like that. But, you know, how you can't get certain things out of your brain. You know, I always talk about the best steak I ever ate was in Dublin. It's still in my head.
That's a good thing. All right.
Okay, kids, have a great and cooler week.
Yes, you'll want to cook again.
You can actually cook this week. Yep. I can lay off the yogurt.
Yes.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Right, take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robinhood Radio. And, of course, you can always hear Arthur rebroadcast online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.